Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Talking Fail podcast. This week, I am your host, Will, and I'm joined by my somewhat decent brother.
Hi, I'm Tyler. I have a name.
And Tyler is being joined by our probably better sister.
Definitely.
Hello.
She's definitely here. Oh, and she's better. Hi, Jensen.
The best sister they have.
Yes, my favorite sister.
And actually, I was thinking of renaming this to the Comfy Cast because I am streaming from bed.
Yeah, you've got a good little, you got a little setup there going.
Yeah.
Still doing the weird green screen thing, which is now even more awkward because you're laying down in bed in front of us on camera. Audio listeners, sorry, you can't even tell.
Real quick off the bat, I wanted to mention that I just listened to last week's podcast where we had Joshua, the Z guy.
Yeah.
And
you were there, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. When I listened to it, I don't know. I think I was like off my game or something. But as a listener, I got the strong feeling that me and Josh like hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of wanted to double down and say, you know, that Aussie overeducated, over political, piece of garbage can come back next week if he wants to.
Well, how generous of you.
Yeah. Nothing would make me happier than starting a feud with him. But okay. Anyways, how is our guest doing, Jensen? It has been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been a couple of years.
I was going to say, I think it was before, I think you were like just gotten pregnant with Liam.
Yeah.
And Liam is now more than 1 year old.
Yeah.
So there's...
One and a half.
So how was the birth?
Yeah, was it a boy?
It was a boy. I was really surprised, but yeah.
It's good to have, we got a Cardwell family podcast going now.
Yeah, I guess you guys have to rename the podcast.
Two Cardwells and a Trader Cardwell.
Yeah.
Are we saying Jensen's last name?
I don't know.
That's up to Jensen, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, Jensen Garbage Pail.
Wow.
I don't think I ever hear Will say something so mean about me.
I apologize. Okay. It's actually Jensen Sandlin.
All right. So, Jensen, you have seen the Netflix documentary Tiger King.
Yeah.
Most of it. I've watched it almost two times. Will, you have not seen
I have Tiger not, King. But I want you guys to try and sell me on this thing.
Okay. Jensen, do you want to go first?
Well, when I first saw the preview, I was not interested in it at all.
Same.
Yeah, it looked, I don't know. But just because some people recommended it, I tried it. And yeah, I would say it takes about two episodes to really hook you in.
I mean, episode three is when episodes one and two are set up.
Yeah.
For when the, and okay, Will, this show has everything.
Yeah. Does it have tigers?
Giant cats. Country singer.
Explosions.
Woman murdering her husband and
possibly
getting away with it.
I mean, I haven't finished the season yet, but
well, I mean, all the evidence was given in that like second or third episode. Like, what else? A hand getting bit off by by a big cat.
Somebody's arm like actually gets chewed off.
What else? I mean, there's so much madness.
What's great about the show is that for like years he had his own crew, like recording everything. And so now they have all this great footage from, I don't even know how long, I'm guessing like 10 years or something.
I don't know if it was that long, but yeah, this, so the premise is there's a main guy, and then there's like guys, there's other big cat zoo owners that are around him in socially. So the main guy, he's got a bleached mullet.
Okay.
His name is Joe Exotic.
Yeah. He started out being a magician he wanted to go. His brother died when he was younger because of drugs. So he did a bunch of like anti-drug PSA stuff, but he was like, oh, I can't get the kids to pay attention to me. So I started doing magic tricks. And mm-hmm. then he was like, well, and he wanted to take it up another notch. So he somehow jumped straight to big cats. Like, I'm going to have a baby tiger, and then I'll definitely have
with
their,
the kids?
Their attention with the kids. Yeah. The baby tiger, you know, it's a little kitten thing.
Uh-huh. But then it jumps to full grown tigers.
Well,
around the children.
Spoiler alert, baby tigers turn into real tigers.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And then you have to throw away your adult tigers.
That's kind of what happens sometimes in the show.
This sounds like,
see what happens.
This sounds like a similar plan to my puppy adoption company, where you just throw away the adult dog once it stops being a cute puppy.
Okay.
So yeah. I respect this guy's game, and I do love bleach blonde mullets.
So basically, as time goes on, he's more into the fame and being a personality than he is like actually taking care of the cats. Because like that's his thing. Then he starts going into like giving talks about how, you know, we got to save these cats because you can, you're not allowed to breed them. But once they're born into captivity,
wait, they turn into bread.
The big cats can never go back. Can never go back into the wild because they're already used to cat life in captivity.
So captivity, yes. Continue.
Captivity, yes. So basically, once the cat is born, it's stuck. You're now, it can never go out into the wild, and so it's stuck in captivity. So there's more big cats in captivity than there are in the wild. I think it was like they gave the number on tigers.
I think it's just the U.S. alone. There's more tigers than there are in the wild.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty badass, America.
So this guy Joe Exotic, he's got like a tiger, big cat, zoo, and so his whole thing is like, well, you know, well, we got to stop the breeding of big cats. And then there's this other lady who's like, the way they talk about it, it's like she's right across the street. But I think she's like three states over. But her big thing is like, she's like PETA, where they're like, we need to outlaw the ownership of big cats. And in order to do that, she has her own big cat zoo with the goal of outlawing the ownership of big cats.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's when I wanted to, you know, stop slavery. I had my own, you know, slave plantation.
Okay. And then
Will, can you Google Joe Exotic?
I sent him a music video beforehand.
Oh, I didn't get the link. Joe
Exotic for president.
Oh, man, you're skipping straight to the end. Okay.
that's how far I am in the season.
There's like four other left turns, but yeah, he also ran for president.
Okay.
You should see his presidential video.
So the main thing is Joe Exotic and this lady Carol. The lady Carol starts like targeting him and all the other big zoos, and Joe Exotic like takes it super personally. So on his day, it was a daily or weekly podcast that he would stream from the zoo. So he'd constantly be calling her out, and they just had like this like 10-second like super cut of him just like, he's in a tiger pen and he's like, and that bitch Carol Baskins, and then just like over and over and over again. Because that's like all he would do is just rant about Carol Baskins and
animal rights people.
Yeah, I am PETA and animal rights.
Animal rights people.
Yeah. And so his whole thing is that, you know, he's defending the big cats. But he's a country music singer. So he's got a bunch of music videos. Spoiler alert that they don't actually talk about in the documentary. He didn't sing any of the songs. He got somebody else to sing it, and he lip syncs it in his music videos. He's got two husbands, another spoiler alert, they're both straight. Joe Exotic's the only gay one in the group.
Well, yeah, I'll be married to a man, but I'm not no gay.
he runs for president. He's horrible with money. So he has to, like, this other guy come in and bail him out, who is like, imagine if Hot Topic was a guy, it was like a douchebag guy.
Uh-huh.
That's who comes in and rescues him. With all of, like, he's like, he rolls in with, like, you know, he's got like a Ferrari and stuff, and you just see, he just wants to show off, and hey, he has a mm-hmm. couple of big cats of his own. He's like, oh, well, I'll tell you, I've got a couple of big cats. I need a place to store them. Why don't I bring my big cats in and I'll come and help you out and help you out financially.
I just Googled Joe Exotic,
yes,
quick.
Yes.
I don't like that. The first thing is Joe Exotic politician. And yeah. Then, also his pictures. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like,
he ran for president and then governor.
Yeah, he lost his president run, but he ran for governor.
Yeah, it's like Dog the Bounty Hunter if he was gay and more trashy.
Yeah.
And so one of the best parts about it is, like, music videos that they play. So in the documentary, he's got like a voice like this, and he's always talking about, like, you know, that, you know, Carol Baskin and all those people. But then when they cut to the music video, he's like, I saw a tiger. It's like a completely different voice. Like, it's hilarious.
I see that Jared Leto dressed up as Joe Exotic for a Tiger King viewing party. That's pretty fun. Maybe it was Jared Leto singing.
So like in this documentary, Will, they interview all these people that are involved, and it's like all of them, there's all this like crazy stuff that's happening in real life. And all of the people that they interview are like, yeah, so that's the time when, that's the time when we did this. And, oh yeah, here's the part. Let me talk about this part where my hand got bit off by one of the tigers. And here's the part where this happened. And it's like, not like there's some stuff where they have to like kind of dance around, like the lady, Carol, that bitch, Carol Baskins. She, so 10 years ago or 20 years ago, her husband disappeared. Nobody really knows what happened. His body was never found, but she inherited all of his millions, and his tiger, his big cat zoo. Nobody knows what happened to him. his biological kids and his ex-wife are like, we think he got murdered. We don't really know what happened. He kept saying, like, in the week before he died, he was like, yeah, my Carol's going to, you know, if I don't separate from her correct, you know, in the right way, I'm going to end up dead. And fast forward a week later, he disappears. So, it gets crazy. So there's a little bit of like, uh-huh. Some people are like, I can't say exactly something, but I'm going to just imply that Carol killed her husband and fed him to the tigers.
But if I was going to fake my death, I would 100% go around to my friends and say, boy, I think I'm going to get murdered by my wife.
Just before your monthly, you get in your private plane and take your monthly trip to Costa Rica.
If I was faking my own death, I would get on my private plane and then parachute out, crash the plane. Did the plane crash or did he just disappear?
I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly what happened to the plane.
I don't think they know if he took a plane or not.
Oh, he just flapped his arms.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, she but anytime they interview her, because they like they like got interviews with her and her new husband, and every time she says anything, and especially if it's weird and creepy, the topic, she laughs. She does like the like. So there's one part where Joe Exotic, he's filming a video, and he's in one of the tiger pens. And you see one of the big cats, the lion or something, it starts like sniffing at his foot, and it starts like starting to like trying to take little bites of his foot, and so he and
it's got
and,
the heat taste Exotic, for human flesh.
And Joe Exotic, he's got a leg brace and he's got like a crutch, and so he's like whacking the tiger. He's like, "You get off me! Get off me! You know, get out, go!" And you know, they talk a little bit about the video, and but they interview Carol about it, and some of the people are like, "Oh yeah, you know, maybe he stepped in something, and that's what the lion was all interested in." And they cut to Carol, and she's like, "I don't know about that. Maybe somebody had like dipped his shoe in sardine juice."
What? How many people have just sardine juice?
I don't know.
I mean, I do, but
right. So yeah, it's crazy. I tell people you'll get whiplash from watching it because you're just like, what? And it's like the people admitting that they did horrible things. It's crazy. Watch it twice. It's great.
All right.
And Jensen hasn't even like finished the whole series. And then there's a whole other zoo that they interview. There's a third zoo. It's by this guy. I can't remember his name. His name is like, he's got this weird name. He's a zoo guy.
Is his name Josh?
He's a doctor. He's got a doctorate or something in spirituality.
I think it's like mystical science or something.
Yeah, like something weird like that. But his first name that he goes by means like Lord or something. And basically he's got a tiger zoo, but he only has like younger, attractive women running the shows, and they're all his wives. And in order to,
but he's not, but they're not straight. He's the only straight one.
They didn't specifically ask that question, but it's one of those things of like, you come in and you're like, "Oh yeah, come help the tigers." And then it's like, Joe Exotic and this doc guy, all the employees live on the zoo, and they get like a stipend. And like if you work for Joe Exotic, the base pay is like $130 a week. But you get to live in the horrible conditions at the zoo, but if you want to live in the doc's place, you get a little stipend, but you get horrible housing. But if you like maybe spend the night with Doc, you get nicer accommodations and you get to move up in rank in the group.
So it's a cult.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They straight up say it's a cult. Like they're talking about like, yeah. So, I mean, my cult is a little different than his cult. You know, it's, but you know, whatever, you know, I like the way I do it, but you know, the way that Doc runs his, I guess that's fine too. You know, it works for him kind of thing. Like they're straight up saying this stuff. It's hilarious.
What is it about that nobody even notices that the cult leaders usually get to have sex with everybody, but like that nobody notices that is like strange. Like, oh, maybe we're in a cult and this guy's just using us.
Well, I mean, Joe Exotic has his own little cult thing that he has going on. I don't know how Jensen, if you're far enough in where they start talking about how the two husbands get rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But they get rewards. Joe Exotic sets them up with what they want.
Yeah. So Tyler,
Yes.
Is it your exotic or is it not Joe-zotic?
What?
Is it Nacho-zotic? Is it not Joe exotic or is it Nacho exotic? Oh, I'll just keep saying it until it works. Is it
we're playing a game of horrible joke chicken where Will just keeps repeating it and I just stare blankly at Will.
Is it not Joe exotic or is it Nacho exotic?
Okay, I'll blank. Stop it.
Nacho exotic.
There you go. Nacho exotic. But yeah. Will or Jensen, did you get to the part where Joe Exotic does the eulogy?
Yes, that's the episode I just watched tonight.
Okay, wait. I don't know anything. Is the eulogy for a dead animal?
No.
No.
Dang it. I was really hoping it would be.
So I'm already spoiling tons of stuff, but it's a great show. I don't think I'm like, it's a documentary. I'm not really ruining that much. So somebody dies and Joe Exotic is given the eulogy for this beloved person in his life. And he starts going on talking about how he, the deceased guy loved to show off his balls. They're like golden nuggets to that boy. you all seen him. You all know how he felt about
like right in front of his own guy's mom.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, wow, this guy must have had some great balls.
And then Joe Exotic proceeds to play one of the songs that he supposedly wrote and sings. And like, so it's playing in the speaker system, and then he's also singing into the microphone over, or, you know, he's singing a lot. He's karaokeing to
the backing track. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
Beyonce does great. The same thing. I mean, they're basically on the same level.
Tyler, aren't you afraid that Joe Exotic's going to put like a hit on your head since you've been trash talking him?
Oh no. That's the best part about Joe Exotic. Anytime someone makes fun of him, he thinks it's good. They showed a bunch of clips from like the Daily. It was the Daily Show, or it was like news stuff. And they're talking about him like for his presidential run.
Mm-hmm.
And so they show
clips
of them.
It was John Oliver.
Yeah. John Oliver. And they were like, he'd show a clip of him being made fun of. And then they'd cut to one of his friends. And they're like, I don't know what it was. Like, Joe knew that they were making fun of him, but he thought it was great. Like, he thought it was good press.
Well, yeah, it's good unless it's what, that bitch Karen. Then it's not okay.
But yeah, you got to watch this thing. They had a documentary crew at the zoo.
I feel like I've already watched it. Now there's no way I'm going to watch
it. No, we haven't even. We've barely scratched the surface.
Not even scratched the surface. That's a big promise, Tyler.
It's I watch the show and tell me.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Okay, if I watch this thing and it's not like a 10 out of 10, I'm going to come over there and
and cough like, on me.
Spit in your food and cough on you. Yeah.
Okay.
Cuz I am exposed daily to the coronavirus at my work.
I believe you. I will take that bet.
Okay. Jensen,
yes.
Congratulations on your fifth guest appearance. Did you realize you've been on five different episodes of this podcast?
No. I thought I was on one or two.
I was going to say like two or three, but
yeah, it surprises me too. I mean, it's just because it's been so long that it feels like you haven't been on ever. But this is our 146th podcast. Holy crap.
Yeah.
It's been going on so long that half of us have died.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Tyler, on 144.
Oh, thank you.
Podcasts.
I'm like one ahead of you, right?
No, we're tied.
We're tied? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I keep thinking it's one ahead of me, and I think you always correct me. And
Yeah, we're tied.
Oh, I had a question from one of your podcasts. You had a couple weeks ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so say you're you have one of those shower drains that's like one of those small ones, so it doesn't have like a grate over it, can you still do the waffle stomp?
It really was from a few years ago.
It's like episode 2 or something.
It's so I think Waffle Stomp is like an unreleased podcast. Its only public form is the animation that I made. I think it literally...
So nobody's going to get that joke.
But yeah, like 3 years ago, probably? I think it was 3 years ago we made a podcast where I brought up, do you guys know what Waffle Stomp is? And it, do you know what it is, Tyler?
Yeah, well, I was there 3 years ago. But
it's been so long, I thought maybe you forgot.
I've got a memory like, what was it?
Goldfish.
Raccoon. Right? That's the thing? Never mind.
Okay.
You're in the shower. You can pee. Everyone knows you can pee.
Yeah.
But if you, you got to do more than that.
And not just like aiming it into the toilet from the shower down the drain is what you mean.
Down the drain. Yeah, of course, down the drain. It all goes to the same place. But yeah, if you have to, if you have something bigger, then yeah, you stomp it down and that kind of waffles. I would assume so. Will, you're our waffle stomp expert.
I actually...
Our waffle stomp correspondent.
I actually have one of those drains in my shower that is not, you know, waffle formation.
I've got a waffle formation.
It's you know, like a hole and then it's split into fourths. So it's a round hole split into fourths. And it is not, you know, a technical waffle stomp. Okay. But it's, you know, like... I don't know, a small Pizza Hut stomp.
Okay.
a personal size Pizza Hut pizza stomp is what that is. It works.
Maybe depending on your drain style, you might need a stick.
My drain has like a removable plastic cover. Mm-hmm. Should I keep the cover on for that?
See, the thing is, you don't want to clog your pipe. Once it leaves your shower, it's beyond your control. If it gets jammed by something else, like a wad of hair or something, and the turd is the final straw, the turd that breaks the camel's back, as they say, then you're gonna have to take like drastic measures to get that cleared.
Yeah.
So you wanna break it up early on.
If it can't get through, then you do not poo.
That's what they said in the OJ trial. Yeah.
I've got, I guess, like a story I could tell.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's related.
Please tell us a story. I've only had the same like three or four people in my life in this house. Like, please tell me a new story.
So you know, I still go to work. And Corona's all the rage, so this is actually Corona related. One of my coworkers, who will remain unnamed, is, she's kind of, I don't know, to me, famous for saying some insensitive things occasionally.
Okay. And I think you've told me some things offline that should be repeated.
Now I'm picturing like a female Joe Exotic.
Maybe. She's not bleach blonde and has a mullet, but. One of her sage words of wisdom was she was concerned about her paycheck. She said, I just know they're going to Jew me out of some money.
Right.
But this story, so she was talking about how the coronavirus, like, if it's your time to die, then you're just going to die and we shouldn't be so up in arms about like trying to stop it. Like, who cares, really, was kind of her stance.
Okay.
And then I got to thinking and I realized that she is asthmatic.
Right.
So my thinking, like, if I wasn't concerned about keeping my job ever, I would say, well, then you should stop using your asthma medicine, because why should we be putting an effort into saving your life with medicine or technology? Like, you should just die, because if it's your time to die, then you got to go.
So
I'm getting, like, you know, calls from HR or whatever, and yeah, who cares?
Just to keep ignoring them like you have been for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, they never talk to you. They can never fire you.
Yeah, and they've stopped sending paychecks, but if I keep showing up, you know, I kind of work there.
Yep. So, Jensen, what have you, you've been a stay-at-home mom before all of this madness happened. What are you doing to stay sane?
I mean, I guess Mike says I'm an essential worker, so I have to keep taking care of my baby. you know, life hasn't changed that much for us just because, you know, he's a year and a half, so we have to stop going to public places, but we kind of do the same things at home. And now my husband, Mike, is working from home, which I like, you know, spend more time. He spends more time with Liam and stuff. So for us, it's been good. We've been really grateful that Mike has still been able to work.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, really, like, for you, like, as a stay-at-home mom, you were social distancing, but now you get to do it with your husband. So, like, it's even better.
Yeah. And we spend like less on gas now, and we're eating out less. So it's like we're saving more money this way.
But I've been eating out more by like ordering DoorDash and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
It's helping the economy, Will.
That's true.
Think about it that way.
You're supporting Taco Bell, Will.
And those drivers.
And Taco Bell needs it. So, like, you, Jensen, you're a stay-at-home mom. Can you, like, bust the myth that me as a man who works full-time and, like, is it really, you know, like, a full-time job?
Wait, is the myth that stay-at-home mom is a full-time job? Or it's not?
No, like, you know, I go to work every day, but then, like,
I come home and relax.
Yeah, I would have the theory that, like, oh, you're just a mom. Like, it's not that hard.
Jensen.
Yeah.
As your legal representative, as your lawyer, I would advise you to get involved with the argument that Will and his wife are currently having. obviously, this is a public forum. Format, you should probably not give any kind of I would advise you to stay silent.
It might be a little bit different for me because I've been working with kids almost my whole career.
I mean, you're older than Will. You've been dealing with kids here.
But like for your job, you would deal with mentally challenged kids. And this is just a normal kid.
Once again, see Will.
This is just a normal kid, so this should be easier.
Yeah, so I've worked with special needs kids. I've worked as a nanny. Mm-hmm. I've worked in a daycare and nurseries. But it's just, I mean, obviously it's more enjoyable to be around your own child. But when you're working with other people's children, you have to follow their rules as a family or
right. Cause
daycare.
Because, like, you know, you could have if for your own kid, you could be like, well, we don't give a candy for breakfast.
Yeah.
And the other parent could be like, okay, well, we don't do candy for breakfast unless he asks for it really, you know, unless he asks for it three times.
Unless he really wants it.
Yeah, unless he really wants it. Yeah.
So it's a lot more enjoyable to be able to set your own rules. You know, I can actually tell Liam no, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, I definitely prefer being a stay-at-home mom than, like, say, my last job working in a daycare 8 hours a day. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, like, pretty much with every mother, there's, like, that thing where the kid likes Jensen you better.
Legal advisor, I already heard.
I love how Will's like the expert on like.
I'm mansplaining to you what it's like to be a mother. But
Jensen, mansplaining. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard of mansplaining.
When a man talks down.
Please explain it to me.
From Silicon Valley.
But pretty much every mother I've met, the baby likes the mom better than anyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, if the baby's crying, you pick up the baby and the baby's usually fine. I mean, compared to somebody else trying to calm the baby down.
Yeah, you need to stop picking up strangers' babies. I think that's the problem.
Does that annoy you or make you happy that, like, you're the sole comforter? That, like, you're the best comforter, or that it annoys you that nobody else can just take the baby?
Most of the time, it's kind of a nice feeling. You don't really think of it like that. You just think of it as, you know, you love this baby so much. It pains you to see them crying or whatever. So you want to do what you can to make them feel better.
Can I add a slight change to the scenario? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh. Now, how much do you love the baby?
That's different than
it's
much less.
It's two
moments where I wished, that somebody else could comfort him.
It's like, okay.
Like I could.
I'll change the scenario again. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a quiet place is happening. And
Will's picking up my baby and making him cry.
The quiet place monster is coming, and you're the only one that can comfort it. Does it bother you now?
I never watched The Quiet Place.
Oh, they're attracted by sound.
I use The Quiet Place as a teaching tool to my kids.
If you're not quiet, you're gonna get ripped apart by giant monsters.
Okay, so I'm gonna spoil the first like 5 minutes of A Quiet Place. So it's this family and they got little kids and they're going through. They're making a run to town to get supplies, and they kind of set up pretty early on that nobody, you know, because the whole premise is that these monsters are attracted to sound. And so they're playing around and, like, you know, very carefully getting the things that they need. And the little boy picks up like this like space shuttle toy that is obviously like needs batteries and stuff to operate and make noise. And so like that stops the kid and like, you know, takes the batteries out and sets them on the counter and like very makes a big deal about, okay. And then they like walk away, but except he leaves like the kid alone with the spaceship toy and leaves the store first. And so the kid, obviously off screen, grabs the spaceship toy. And then, so then they cut to like, they're walking home and they're just walking along. And then all of a sudden you hear the, you know, the noises from the toy, and everyone just like freezes and turns around, and the kid's got the toy in his hand. He just put the batteries back into it. And then like monster just grabs the kid and jumps, you know, out of nowhere and grabs the kid and is gone. And so like I showed my boys that. I was like, this is what happens when you don't listen to your parents. I didn't show them any of the rest of the movie.
That opening scene was like, wow, this movie goes hard.
Yeah. And oh yeah.
Then it doesn't really go that hard the rest of the movie, but like I was impressed by that opening scene.
Yeah, well, I mean the opening scene showed you that like they're willing to kill off the little kid.
Yeah. I can't really watch movies like that anymore. Have you guys seen Mother?
Yes. No.
Will, did you ever watch I can't think of a new never mind, I can't think of the movies he's done, but he does like weird movies.
Darren Aronofsky, right?
Yeah.
Black Swan?
Yeah, Black Swan.
I think that's the only one I've seen.
Okay, there's another one they did that's real. It's really good. It's about drugs. But yeah, Mother's.
I like Black Swan, but I can't tell if it's because it's a good movie or it's because Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis are in it.
Okay. All right. But Jensen, what were you saying about
Mother? My husband, Mike, was watching it like I mean, I don't even know if our baby was like a month old. And, you know, there's a scene with a baby that gets brutally murdered. Yeah. And that was like literally, I had just like walked downstairs because I knew I didn't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And that was the scene that was playing. And I was just like, what are you watching? How can you watch this? And it like almost made me cry.
Well, he wasn't murdered a minute ago. Yeah. How was I supposed to know you're going to murder a baby?
And that's when I realized I had like the mom skill of walking in at the worst.
Yeah. It's happened. Yeah. It's happened.
Dad always talked about that with the mom.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was awful.
Just this one scene. It's not the whole movie.
Did you see Dr. Sleep, Jensen?
No, I haven't seen that yet, but I want to.
Okay.
There's one scene that like I knew was coming.
I read the book. Yeah.
But the kid who is in that scene is a very good actor.
Yeah. Like I am not a father, and it did not really make me uncomfortable, but I was like 100% aware of like, man, this is going to suck when I have a kid.
Have you, either of you watched The Road with Viggo Mortensen?
The Room?
The Road.
No, but I
The Room.
No, stop talking about The Room,
for a while.
Now that is hard to watch.
At any age. But no, I watched The Road. I almost said The Room. I watched The Road before I had kids, but I could already tell, like, I watched it once and I was like, I don't need to watch this anymore. Like, even that's how depressing it was. It's like a plague has wiped out all of humanity's food. So everything's just devastated. It's a father and a son who are just wandering the road, and there's like they fear other people because they're basically it's the only food that's left is cannibalism, is groups of people eating other people. And so the father has a pistol, and he's got it, but he only has two bullets. And so anytime there's like a stressful situation where they're about, like, they might get, you know, they're hiding and they might get caught by a group of cannibals, they the father's like, he puts the gun right to the kid's head, and he's, because it's like that's their deal. It's like, uh-huh. He's gonna shoot the kid and he's gonna shoot himself, because that's the best case scenario if they get found.
Okay, wait. I want to guess the gun. It's like, you know, finally for real that they're gonna get eaten, and like the gun jams or the gun doesn't fire, and he has to watch his kid get eaten by cannibals.
No, but just the whole movie is just like this, that underlying tension. And just like, and like I said, at that point I had not had kids yet, but I was just like, I watched it because I want to know how it ends, but it was just so depressing.
Does the kid get eaten?
No.
Does he get shot?
No.
Then what's so bad about it?
Okay, cool.
sorry. I need to get closer to the screen to see how long we've been recording.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it might be time to wrap up.
43 minutes.
Yeah, it's okay, we got a solid show there. Okay. Jensen,
yes,
if we're wrapping up the show, is there any place that you want to, like, do you have like a website or a place that people can find you if they want to know more about you? Follow your work.
Yeah, it's http.
Oh boy,
semicolon. Wait, is it 1/ or 2/? www.joeexoticforpresident2020.gov.
Okay, cool.
If you were to vote for somebody other than Joe Exotic, who would you say you were voting for?
You asking me?
Yeah, sure.
I hate politics so much. I really just gonna wait till like the last minute to like read things to pick who I want to vote for.
So you would say you were voting for Nacho Exotic?
All right.
All right. To close out the show, I thought this was pretty weird. I guess I like Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
Because, you know, I always think of Margaritaville as like kind of a joke. It's like super overplayed and like who cares about it? But then I just accidentally heard it once on the radio and I was like, I'm into this. This is good. And I've been listening to his other albums, and I think I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan.
All right. I mean, like you, I've never really had exposure to Jimmy Buffett. So is there a song that you would recommend?
Oh, Margaritaville. If you actually listen to the lyrics, you know, it's no joke, and it's actually really sad. So I guess, you know, I accidentally became a Jimmy Buffett fan, and... some people say there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. Okay. All right. I'll start the outro now.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Don't touch your face.
Bye.
You know, I've been thinking about like saying I started the intro and then not starting the intro. And just like leaving it dead silent for like a minute straight and see how long I can go.
See, it's just confusing to people like Jensen because she doesn't know if the music has started or yet or not.
Oh, it's definitely going. And it's definitely still going. And I definitely have... It is still going for sure.
Okay.
I'm not messing with you guys. And I'm definitely not wasting away in Margaritaville.
Apparently, Margaritaville.com is actually owned by Jimmy Buffett.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I think I got it.